Tastescape. To give a sense of the tastescape, I thought I would eat one almond and try to describe the experience. I took it from the granola I made last week, so it was baked along with a lot of other things, including olive oil and maple syrup, lots of oats, sesame seeds, sunflower seeds, some cinnamon, and a little salt. As I put the almond in my mouth, I'm struck by its size. It is quite large. I can feel the skin softening up, and whoops, all of a sudden, there are two pieces in my mouth. I can feel the wrinkled skin on the one side and the smooth surface of the seedling that is now split in two on the other. I bite into them, perceive that they are surprisingly crunchy, and start chewing slowly. The crunchiness rapidly turns to something with the consistency of cornmeal. It's amazing how the taste floods the mouth, peaks, and then trails off. When we taste with such attention, even the simplest of foods provides a universe of sensory experience. One bite of apple, of banana, of bread, of cheese, of anything, is a whole universe of surprising tastes, if we can be awake to them. Maybe that is why even the simplest of foods, even canned peas or sardines, taste better, it seems, when we are on the trail or camping outside of our normal framework for experiencing the world. And that is why eating a raisin is often the first meditation we offer people in the stress reduction clinic. Eating dispels all previous concepts we may be harboring about meditation. It immediately places it in the realm of the ordinary, the everyday, the world you already know but are now going to know differently. Eating one raisin, very slowly, invites you to drop right into the knowing in ways that are effortless, totally natural, and entirely beyond words and thinking. It is an invitation that is unusual only in that we tend to eat so automatically and unconsciously. Such an exercise, just eating, just tasting, delivers wakefulness immediately, only tasting. Everything else is merely words and therefore thinking, once removed at least from present moment experience, in this case, tasting itself, and knowing intimately, savoring the tastescape in the mouth. After breathing, eating is just about as basic as it gets for living organisms. We cannot sustain ourselves without eating, and the drives to satisfy that daily need for sustenance, in particular hunger and thirst, along with the discrimination of taste, which in the wild reduce the chances of poisoning ourselves out of desperation when hungry or thirsty, requires daily satisfaction. In hunting and gathering societies, almost all the energy of every able-bodied person went into procuring food. In agricultural societies, where the majority of food is grown and raised rather than hunted and gathered, a huge amount of energy in the society still goes into food production. Nevertheless, agriculture and the raising of animals over time, at least in locations where the environment was conducive to it, provided surpluses of food that allowed a growing complexity within social groups, the appearance of cities and civil society wherein not everybody devoted their energies to food production or distribution, even though everybody in the society has to eat to stay alive. This trend has become even more the case in industrial and post-industrial societies. Thus, our relationship to food over the past 10,000 years has changed dramatically, including the ease of procurement, preservation, storage, distribution, varieties of food available to us, its qualities and nutritive value, and the ubiquity of it. Just think, we feed ourselves, and we have all had to learn to do it. And we do it all the time, not just to sustain our lives, but often out of sheer habit and the urge to satisfy cravings that have little to do with real nourishment and often stem more from emotional discomfort than any actual hunger. Of course, sharing food in the company of family and friends is one of the most basic, profound, and satisfying vehicles of social connectedness. It feeds other needs that also run very deep in us. One way we know the world and are in touch with it is through the mouth and via the tongue, through its fine-tuned ability to distinguish textures as well as through tasting. The tongue is relatively large in the sensory map of the body in the cerebral cortex, reflecting its importance as a vehicle for touching the world beyond the specialized sense of taste. As babies, we all put things in our mouths. That was a primary and very direct way to know what things were. Rocks are hard, sand is gritty. When we bring awareness intentionally into the mouth as we are chewing one raisin, after having looked at it for some time and have actually seen it beyond our concepts and opinions about it, the very taste itself tends to explode into our mouths and into our minds with a surprising novelty that can be quite revealing. And it doesn't have to be a raisin. If we slow down a bit, we can intentionally bring awareness to tasting anything we are eating, to be with this mouthful of food, and to really taste it, chew it, and know it before we swallow it.